Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Hello again, everybody. New Yorkers are not just choosing a new governor this election day, but also a new comptroller and state attorney general. So we will begin this hour by interviewing the Republican nominee for Attorney General Dan Donovan, running against Democrat Eric Schneiderman. By way of full disclosure, Mr. Schneiderman's father is a member of the WNYC Board of Trustees and has been a longtime major donor to the station. So there's that. Dan Donovan has been the Staten Island DA for 8 years. He completed a term earlier this year as president of the New York State District Attorneys Association. His endorsements include Mayor Bloomberg and former Mayor Ed Koch. Mr. Donovan, thanks so much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me, Brian. It's good to be with you.
And I want to start by playing about a 45-second clip of Mr. Schneiderman in our Democratic primary debate after I asked the candidates for a brief job description of New York State Attorney General. I want you to listen to how he described the job and see how similarly or differently you would describe it. Here's Eric Schneiderman from early September.
Well, it is the people's lawyer, and the Attorney General really, in my view, has the duty to speak out for people who can't speak out for themselves, to represent people against big institutions and, or corrupt government activity, and really fight to maintain the balance in New York State between the strong and the weak, the rich and the poor. So I view the Attorney General's office as really, in a more populist sense, as someone who has a duty not just to defend the state, but to affirmatively fight for causes, speak out for people who are being abused by mortgage fraud, who are being abused by debt collectors, who want public corruption rooted out in Albany. And it's really an important assignment. You defend the state, but the other part of the job is, in my view, is to be the advocate for people who can't afford to hire big lawyers by themselves.
So, Dan Donovan, how similarly, how differently would you describe the job from that?
Yeah, I think he described the job well. It's just I think the choice for the voters this year is who's able to actually do that job. Is it somebody who's been part of the legislative process for the last 12 years with ties to Albany and ties to the special interests that have been choking our economy? Or is it somebody who's been an independent prosecutor in Staten Island leading the DA's office and 8 years prior to that working for the legendary Robert Morgenthau in the Manhattan DA's office and someone who has no ties to Albany? Just yesterday, a New York Times survey came out and 58% of the people surveyed thought corruption is widespread, Brian, up in Albany in our state government, and we need an independent prosecutor to root out the corruption, get our state back on the right, going in the right direction.
And that's obviously what both of you consider job one right now. I'll follow up on that with you in just a minute. But when Mr. Schneiderman talked about, he used the term a populist sense and said fight to maintain the balance between the strong and the weak and the rich and the poor. Do you see it in those terms?
I see it as representing all the people in the state. You know, I was asked, Brian, when my opponent had said that he would give an annex in his office to Reverend Al Sharpton's House of Justice. When I was asked about that, I said, I'm going to give 19 million people an annex in my attorney general's office. We're going to represent every one of our citizens, whether they have a strong voice or a weak voice or no voice.
So on that point, since you brought it up, Schneiderman says he simply meant that the concerns for justice that Sharpton and his group have would be represented, not that he would give them any kind of physical annex. Do you take it differently?
I do take it differently. I think, you know, and this is not a reflection of Reverend Sharpton, Brian. This is a reflection on my opponent. The Charities Bureau of the Attorney General's Office has oversight over all not-for-profit agencies in our state. Reverend Sharpton's House of Justice is one of those agencies that the Attorney General would have oversight over. And here at a political endorsement, my opponent is saying because of a political endorsement, he's going to give special treatment. That's what has angered New Yorkers for over a decade now, that people get treated differently and special interests get treated specially by our elected officials because of political endorsements, political donations, because of prior relationships. I think what New Yorkers are hungry for right now is some independence, someone who has no ties to Albany, no ties to those special interests, who has conducted himself in a nonpartisan way leading the Staten Island DA's office. I bet you, Brian, if you ask Staten Islanders, they wouldn't know if I'm a Democrat or a Republican the way we've conducted ourselves in the DA's office.
Is there something particular, just to follow up one more time on that Sharpton thing, is there something particular that you think Schneiderman might do representing Sharpton's interests that would be bad for the state as a whole?
I think giving someone special treatment that you're required to have oversight on, all the people have been doing lately is reading about articles about how our legislators have misused and abused the member item process. And today there was a federal indictment involving former Senator Hiram Montserrat. It was just the latest of a string of cases that are being brought. And, you know, here is somebody who's running to be the chief legal officer of the people of the state of New York and is publicly saying at a political endorsement that they're going to get special treatment. I think that's the thing that's angered people the most. And I think people are going to reject that notion come November 2nd.
So you think that you can be tougher on Albany corruption than Mr. Schneiderman because he's coming out of the legislature. Do I gather that correctly?
You're absolutely right, Brian. The people don't have trust in our government anymore, in New York State government. We became the laughing stock of our nation. The Brennan Justice Center said our state government, our state legislature, was the most dysfunctional in the entire country. That's coming from the Brennan Justice Center of NYU Law School. People have lost faith that they're in their elected leaders and don't believe them anymore, and there are some people who have given them good cause to feel that way. My opponent has 12 years' worth of relationships with legislators, with state agencies, that will require his investigating. I mean, public corruption, 58% of the people thinking it's widespread, that's the number one issue on people's minds right now after jobs and the economy. And I'm not saying that my opponent doesn't desire to do any of these things. I just say that he's been compromised by his relationships and won't be able to perform the job that's needed right now in our state government.
That charge also came up in our Democratic primary debate among the attorney general candidates, and I'm going to play you a 40-second clip of how Eric Schneiderman answered it at that time. Here he's addressing Eric DiNalo, one of the other candidates who brought it up.
Eric, I just think you're flat-out wrong on the law. I mean, that's like saying Sean couldn't go investigate corruption in the Navy because he was in the Navy once. The state legislature changes every 2 years. It's reconstituted. Look, I was a sitting state senator, and I chaired a committee that investigated and expelled Senator Hiram Montserrat. That's while I was in the Senate with him as an independently elected attorney general. Unless there's a personal conflict, some matter that I was personally involved with, there is no prohibition on me going after corrupt elected officials. And I'm the only person here. I know Kathleen has prosecuted folks from the position of district attorney. I'm the only person here who stood up in the state legislature and said, we're going to start raising the bar, and I'm going to throw someone out who's corrupt.
So, Mr. Donovan, come back to that one more time.
Well, if he's claiming that he took action against Hiram Montserrat, the accusations that the federal government made against Montserrat yesterday also happened under Mr. Schneiderman's watch, and he's done nothing about that. I'm not saying he's prohibited from doing it. I'm saying he's incapable of performing, rooting out corruption in Albany because of his relationships. Our people, I already have an opponent who says he's going to give special treatment to somebody because of a political endorsement. How the public would believe that his relationships are not going to taint his ability to fight out public corruption, I don't know how he gets past that. In our system, if someone has, because people have to have trust that our justice system works, we as professional prosecutors, me for over 15 years being a prosecutor, we recuse ourselves from cases in which we have to investigate someone we have a relationship with or a prior relationship with. Mr. Schneiderman, in order to perform his duties, in order for people to have faith that no one's being treated especially because of his relationship, would have to recuse himself from every corruption investigation that involves Albany. And when he says that the Senate turns over every 2 years, you know, somebody had recently pointed out you have a better chance of leaving Albany in handcuffs than not being reelected as a sitting legislator. So although we have elections every 2 years, our Senate hasn't turned over in decades.
So do you think that the big reforms that Albany needs might not even be mostly in the attorney general's realm? Of course, you'd bring charges in cases of illegal corruption. But do you think maybe the bigger issues are structural and require policy fixes like ethics laws and campaign finance limits less than the current $150,000 per donation, rather than law enforcement ones?
Well, they may help, Brian, but I mean, corruption is a crime, and we need somebody to enforce those laws. And the Attorney General's office, with 700 lawyers, 2,200 employees, and over a $200 million budget, is the right place for those corruption investigations and prosecutions to take place. So we need both. But right now, in our system, we didn't always need a prosecutor as attorney general. Our last two attorney generals are prosecutors. Attorney General Cuomo worked in the Manhattan DA's office. Attorney General Spitzer worked in the Manhattan DA's office. We've had attorney generals such as Bob Abrams and Louis Lefkowitz who weren't prosecutors. But at this time in our history, with the issues that are facing this state and with 58% of people thinking it, corruption is widespread in their state government, we need a prosecutor who's independent of the legislators, independent of the governor's office, independent of the special interests that are choking the economy of New York State in order to root out corruption. And so I'm not saying that you can never be a legislator and be the attorney general, but right now in our state's history, it demands a prosecutor in that position.
Do you have an opinion about the LLC loophole in the campaign finance laws? This is something WNYC has been investigating. And as I'm sure you know, that loophole allows people to set up multiple LLC companies that don't do anything just so they can make repeated donations up to $150,000 to political candidates. Do you have a position on that?
You know, I think we have to look at campaign finance reform in total. I'm not in favor right now of state-funded kind of campaign finance because we can't ask the taxpayers of our state to take on an added burden of financing campaigns, political campaigns, just so people will be honest. What we have to do is get rid of the dishonest people and encourage honest, law-abiding citizens to run for public service. So I think our campaign finance system has to be looked at and overhauled altogether and take out whatever loopholes exist and try to make the playing field a little bit more even so that people who aren't wealthy are the only people that can run, that people with limited means can still run because they could serve our public well. But at the same time, we can't ask the state and our state taxpayers to take on an added burden just so people would be honest.
So I think this is a difference between you and Mr. Schneiderman on policy terms, because here's another clip of him, 30 seconds from our attorney general primary debate, where we asked them about the LLC loophole.
I've already I'm the sponsor of legislation to close the loophole. I have decades of experience fighting for public campaign finance reform and for full public financing of campaigns, which is the key to getting money out of politics. When I was the president of the Board of Citizen Action, long before I thought about running for the state Senate. And I think that as far as recusal goes, you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. There are thousands of people who have donated to my campaign and will look to see if there's a conflict of interest, whether it's an LLC, an individual, a corporation, or a union.
So he advocated public financing, which you obviously just disagreed with. He also said he sponsored legislation to close the loophole. Do you support or oppose that?
Brian, there's nearly 10% of the people in our state are unemployed right now. And, you know, our legislators get paid pretty well for a part-time job. So I can't see how we could ask people who are unemployed, and that doesn't even count the people who are underemployed, people who are qualified for better-paying jobs but can't find them and took lower-paying jobs. That doesn't count the people who have been so desperate and so despaired they stopped looking for work. And so with that many people out of work and with the tax burden already chasing people out of New York and chasing businesses out of New York, I can't see how we tell people, listen, we want you to finance political campaigns just so we can keep the politicians honest. What we need is honest politicians.
And just on the point of the LLC loophole, should people be able to set up multiple companies to make multiple big donations?
You know, I don't think that, you know, there's ways of circumventing the finance laws, making loans to a campaign that are forgiven afterward, having people contribute to multiple campaign PACs that you have, such as an attorney general's campaign fund and a state Senate campaign fund, and then sending the money from the state Senate campaign over to the attorney general's race. Those loopholes have to be fixed, too.
Mm-hmm. My guest on WNYC is the Republican candidate for New York State Attorney General, Dan Donovan. Mr. Schneiderman is widely seen as having run as the most liberal candidate in the Democratic primary. You said before you see the office of AG in nonpartisan terms and that people couldn't tell if you were a Democrat or Republican as Staten Island District Attorney. Would you characterize yourself as more conservative than him or him as more liberal than you? Would you use those words?
I would say I'm a centrist. I'm a moderate, Brian, if you ask me to label myself. But I was asked during an interview, would I run a partisan attorney general's office or would I run a bipartisan attorney general's office? And my response was, I'd run a nonpartisan attorney general's office. Partisanship has no place in the office of the chief legal officer of the state of New York. And any slant, any interpretation of the laws that are going to give a political slant to is a disservice to the people of our state. You need to trust that a lawyer that's representing you is not allowing any political slant or any political persuasion to taint their view and interpretation of the law and representing both our state and its citizens.
But people, as a matter of belief or ideology, if you want to use that word, tend to fall on different sides of different issues. And I want to go down a few between the two of you that perhaps seem to break that way. I see that one policy difference between you and Mr. Schneiderman is on the Rockefeller drug laws. He was a leader in the legislature in getting those laws repealed or softened as too harsh on nonviolent drug offenders as they saw it. And I believe as a DA, he wanted those laws kept more or less as they were. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. What happened, Brian, is in 2009 when my opponent led the efforts to weaken our drug laws, those Rockefeller drug laws had already been reformed in 2004. Those 2004 reforms were working. More people in 2008 went to treatment for their addiction for low-level drug offenses than went to prison for the first time in our history. The laws were working, and there was no need for the 2009 reforms. I am the son, a product of an alcoholic father, so I understand what recovery is about. My dad found the rooms of AA when I was 8 years old. I wouldn't be talking to you right now as a candidate for attorney general if that didn't happen. People talk about collateral damage. I'm a collateral beneficiary of my dad's recovery, so I'm in favor of diverting people out of the criminal justice system when it's necessary. But the reforms of 2009 went beyond that. Those laws now allow someone who's convicted of a drug offense not only to have that drug offense sealed, but to have prior offenses that aren't even drug-related sealed and off of their record so that if an employer who's hiring somebody for a child care center or to drive a school bus with children on it would do a background check and never know that applicant had prior convictions that didn't relate to their drug addictions. That, I believe, could be a danger to our society, and that I oppose vehemently as the president of the DA's Association.
I see that another policy difference is over imprisonment of convicted sex offenders after they've served their prison terms if the state sees them at high risk of molesting again. That's the practice now. Schneiderman opposes that policy as unconstitutional imprisonment without a criminal charge. You support it. Tell us why.
Yes, and it's not unconstitutional, and I can't believe that someone wants to be the state's top legal advisor thought that was unconstitutional. What the law requires, Brian, is that after someone has served their prison sentence for a sex offense and the state believes that they are still a danger to society, that independent psychiatric evidence be presented in a due process hearing. The defendant is allowed their due process and is allowed a hearing where a judge determines that there's enough evidence that this individual is still a risk to society, still a risk to our children and the women in our society, and that they are going to now be civilly confined, not in a prison, but in a civil setting to protect people because they're still a danger to our society. That is not unconstitutional. It's been upheld by the courts, and due process is permitted and allowed for that person, and they can make their arguments that they're not a danger to society, but if it's deemed that they are, they can be civilly confined until they are deemed no longer a threat to society.
No, obviously sex crimes are horrible, but so is murder and other violent crime. Should the state begin to evaluate other violent criminals for risk of recidivism and preventively detain them too?
Well, I think we already do that in many cases because a lot of the murder sentences have a life term to them. There is a minimum sentence, 15 to life, 20 to life, 25 to life. The number 15, 20, 25 means that's the minimum amount of time someone has to serve, but then they have to go before a parole board, which evaluates whether or not this person is still a risk to society. So they are allowed to keep someone past that minimum sentence if, in fact, they feel that that person is still a risk to our society if he's released from prison. So we already do that in many cases.
We have a few minutes left with the Republican candidate for New York State Attorney General, Dan Donovan. Let me run down a couple of issues real quick before we run out of time. Mr. Schneiderman is making a big issue of your opposition to legal abortion and to gay marriage and his support. Could you enforce abortion laws, or if gay marriage is passed, that law, with the same energy as a supporter of those policies?
Absolutely, Brian, and I've made that pledge to every person in our state. I've made that pledge to people who are advocates for marriage equality, and I've made that pledge to every woman in our state, that I would not only upheld her right to choose her reproductive health care, but I would also take any appropriate action against anyone who tried to interfere with that. I've been the district attorney of Staten Island for nearly over 7 years, and I have not one woman on Staten Island's right to choose her health care has ever been impeded upon during my administration, and it won't happen when I become the attorney general.
Some state attorneys general have filed suit against the new federal health reform law, saying it's unconstitutional to require individuals to purchase private insurance. Would you consider having New York join that suit?
I wouldn't join the suit, Brian. If I thought that our citizens were disenfranchised by the bill, the Obamacare bill, I would sue separately, and I'll tell you why. When I reviewed the bill, I saw that the first 15 attorneys generals on that lawsuit, of the 15, 14 were Republicans, one was a Democrat. Of those 14 individuals, all of them were running for higher office. So when I saw that, it raised my eyebrows to believe that this might be a political lawsuit, not one that's representing the people of their respective states. So if I reviewed the health care bill and found that it disenfranchised our citizens of our state, I would file a separate lawsuit, but I wouldn't join what I think is a political lawsuit.
Do you think that such an independent suit is at all likely if you're elected?
I think that we have to review it more carefully. It's not an issue that was on my plate as district attorney, but I did read the lawsuit, and I would have the great legal minds that I will hire in the attorney general's office to review it to advise me whether or not it's some action that ought to be taken in representing the citizens of our state.
So you have a question, an open question in your mind about whether there may be some aspects of the health reform law that are worth going after in a lawsuit, yes?
Absolutely. And
I wouldn't want to be
predisposed. I want to review it and get the advice of my advisors to see if, in fact, there is something in there that's disenfranchising.
Right. Well, I'm just curious if there are any particular ones that you're concerned about that you want, you know, particularly investigated.
I don't know of any at the moment. I would ask our legal staff to review it, make a recommendation to me, and then I would take whatever appropriate action would be to protect our citizens.
And the Washington Post reports today that federal law enforcement officials are investigating possible criminal violations in connection with the national foreclosure crisis, examining whether financial firms broke federal laws when they filed fraudulent court documents to seize people's homes quickly in large numbers. The banks have been using this automated system called MERS, as I'm sure you know, to file many foreclosure actions in large numbers quickly. The courts in several states have ruled that the MERS system does not have the right to file foreclosures because it doesn't actually own the mortgage loans. Do you have an opinion about the legal or ethical standing of MERS to file foreclosure actions, and what would you do, if anything, about that as state attorney general?
Yeah, I know that our current state attorney general Cuomo, has taken action and asked some of the banks to cease foreclosure actions until this could be determined whether or not they were calling it robo-signing when people were signing documents on behalf of the bank that were attesting to the fact that all the information and documents were true, and they had no idea because they weren't even reading it. They were just signing thousands of documents. And some banks had listened to the Attorney General and stopped foreclosures in New York. Now some are willing to start resuming foreclosures. As the protector of our consumers and investors in our state, the Attorney General has a great role in that. And if people weren't voluntarily stopping disclosures, we would look to see if, in fact, that practice taking place in New York disenfranchised our consumers and take appropriate action to stop the foreclosures until it could be deemed whether or not these were actual fraudulent documents that were being signed or not.
Last question, and I appreciate all your time this morning. If Cuomo's elected and you're elected, you'd be a Republican Attorney General whose main job would, or one of the main jobs, would be representing the policies of the Democratic governor. How big a problem would that be? People might argue Mr. Schneiderman would be better suited if they assume he's more ideologically in tune with the policies that Mr. Cuomo would want to pursue.
The great thing, Brian, about our system is that the Attorney General is independently elected of the governor. In places like New Jersey, the governor appoints the Attorney General, so there's a more reliance and a closer relationship between the Attorney General and the governor. The Attorney General and governor ought to have a professional relationship, but independent of one another, because there's times when the Attorney General might have to take action against the governor's office, as we saw in the Troopergate scandal. So I think our system works. I think the people of our state need a balance in government. I think we've been lacking that. One party has been ruling our state government for too long, and that's part of the corruption and dysfunction that we're facing now. I think traditionally, New Yorkers are ticket splitters, and they realize that we need a Republican watchdog in the Attorney General's office. And I think that's part of why we believe we're going to be successful this coming November.
Dan Donovan, the Republican candidate for New York State Attorney General. Thank you very, very much for spending this time with us.
Brian, thank you for having me. You have a great day.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, hospitals on the brink. A New York Magazine article says that St. Vincent's Hospital was like the Lehman Brothers of the hospital system, but that means in part that other hospitals are at similar risk. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then with Clarence Thomas's wife asking Anita Hill for an apology, we'll ask who from 20 years ago would you like to apologize to you? And since Virginia Thomas did this on Anita Hill's voicemail, we will ask you to reframe your apology request in the language of a voicemail message. So get ready to do that in about 15 minutes. Stay with us.